important. What God is doing around here is beautiful, and we want everybody to be a part of it, and we're thrilled about that. Also want to say next Sunday, in preparation for Easter, Lord willing, I will be preaching on the prodigal son. And so if you know someone, you work with them, or they're a family member, and they just, you just know from being close enough, maybe nobody knows, but you know, your friendship with them is that dear that you know they feel disconnected from the Lord in some way, for some reason. Would you try to get them here next Sunday? And everybody's probably heard of the prodigal son, but I believe when you preach that message, God reaches for people that feel like they've strayed or feel like they're not as connected or as close as they want to be. I'd like for them to be here next Sunday. Would you help us with that? It's going to be great. God's going to bless. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. If you've been here the last few weeks, I've preached more along the lines of the distinctives that make us apostolic. I am going to take one more Sunday and focus on that. Then we'll be moving in a different direction. It has been quite some time. I know it slips in many messages or Bible studies around here, but it has been quite some time that I've spent 3 weeks on this subject. And so get all you can today. We might be shifting gears pretty dramatically next week and the week after and following. So I need you to just, any amen you've got left for this subject, you need to get it out today. Get it out of your system so we can let the Lord have his way. Amen. Amen. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. During the time of this writing, the Roman Empire had really succeeded in taking over the world, and they spread the Greek culture everywhere. And so either you were a Hebrew of the Hebrews or you were just a Greek. So it was the Jews and everybody else. And so this scripture makes it clear that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to everybody. It's for everybody. So I want to preach simply, no way we are not ashamed. No way we are not ashamed. Let's ask the Lord to pour out that power here today through the preaching of the word. Would you pray with passion right now? Lord Jesus, we need you to have your way. We need you to bless God. Come on, that's beautiful. Intercessors, lift your voice out a little bit and pray in the spirit that the power of the gospel would rescue people today. Oh, lift your voice out and pray in the spirit for just a moment. One more time, could you give the Lord a standing ovation? Just clap your hands and shout unto him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. When I was a kid growing up without a dad and being very poor, my mom did the best she could. But one of the things that we always looked forward to, my brother and I, was youth camp, because we could get out of the city and into the country. And man, we just surrounded by lots of good people, and there was food 2 or 3 times a day. We didn't always get that at home, and we loved that. And someone always managed to pay our way so that we could go to that camp. What's interesting is that as a young boy at that camp, They really tried to drill the Word of God deep into our hearts. It has made a lasting impact in my life. And there was a lot of different ways, a lot of different activities, a lot of different preachers and preaching. But there was one guy that came along and he taught us a song. And what's amazing, I'm not a singer, many of you know, but I still remember that song that he taught. And it has to be almost 40 years ago. Now, I'm going to tell you the words, and if I get kind of wound up, I might sing it a little bit, but his song was this: I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking holy rolling born again heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. You didn't, some of you young people didn't even know they had rap music back then. That's because I'm singing it wrong. He actually had a guitar when he played this song. He went on to say, I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you would do the same. That was the song. He said, I was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Will you pardon me if I'm not ashamed? To be a one God apostolic tongue talking holy rolling born again heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. That's pretty good memory for an old guy right there. And he'd get us teenagers in a frenzy because he'd say, let's sing it a little bit faster and then a little bit faster. Before you know it, I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking holy rolling born again heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Then you take a deep breath. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you would do the same. I was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Will you pardon me if I'm not ashamed to be a one God apostolic tongue talking holy rolling born again heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. That's it. All right. Those of you in the medical field, please stand by. Now, back then, like you, we got excited about that. And it put something deep in our spirit that really is still there today. No way, we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. One songwriter said, holy hands are lifted high to the name of Jesus Christ. And as time has gone on, there were some, I'm not saying they're here, but they kind of felt like that was kind of in your face. And we kind of got to back up a little bit and find a way to get it to people so they don't think like, whoa, man, that's intense. And I haven't done well in that particular area, but I appreciate people that feel that way. But regardless of how you package the gospel, regardless of how you present the gospel, when you are an apostolic, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm all for presenting the gospel in a way that gets into the hearts of people that maybe would never like a song like I just shared with you. But sooner or later, you got to get in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's got to get in your life. And you know what? It may not be your favorite song, but if it's in this book, it needs to become your favorite verse, because only the gospel has the power to save you and I. And so I want to say, and I hope that you've got some amens left in you, no way we are not ashamed to proclaim that there is only one God and his name is Jesus. We're not ashamed of that. Ephesians 4 says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That baptism is by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he said, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We know that Father is Jesus Christ. Because the angel said, you look at Jesus and call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. No way, we are not ashamed to proclaim that there is only one God and his name is Jesus. And we are not ashamed to proclaim that that God is a spirit. But in order for that God to reach humanity, that one God became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's why we have salvation available to us today. Amen? That one God came to the earth in the flesh as Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's amazing that God would become a man to rescue us from our sins. And so God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That God is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit, which means to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. No way, we are not ashamed to proclaim that when our sins separated us from God, he came himself. He robed himself in flesh and came to live and die for us. We are not ashamed of that. For it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here it gets a little bit touchy. We are not ashamed that every human being needs a Savior. Oh, well, I wish we had a few more amens on that. No way we are not ashamed to proclaim from Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23 of Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love in the middle of the service or at the end of the service when we have prayer for the sick or prayer for people with other needs, because I know that Jesus still heals and Jesus still helps. But the greatest thing that can happen in any service is that someone would say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Because the moment we pray sincerely, Jesus, this is more than just being religious or calling myself a Christian, I need a Savior. At that moment when we repent, he forgives us completely of every sin. And you know what? The Bible says, now this is Jesus Christ speaking, you might go to heaven lame, but it would be better to go to heaven lame, but go to heaven. Now, I can't imagine not being able to see, but you actually could never be able to see and still go to heaven if you repent of your sins, if you're baptized in his name, and if you're filled with his spirit. I love every miracle, but I hope that we have the same passion for salvation that we do for healing. I hope that we have the same passion for salvation that we do when we need a job and we're saying, oh God, I gotta have that job this week. Is there anybody that would lift their voice and just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for letting me know about my need for a Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 15, picking up at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but you could believe everything I'm preaching and it be in vain. Oh God, help me to remember the power of the gospel. Help me to remember the truth of the gospel. Help it to change my life, Lord, every day. But let's read on. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. No way, we are not ashamed to proclaim that we believe that Jesus did die and Jesus was buried and that he rose again. Did you know there are even some seminaries where people go to study to become ministers, even in our nation, and they are taught the resurrection never happened. There's no such thing as the supernatural. That story of Jesus is there to inspire us, but it's not real. Let me tell you something. No way, we are not ashamed to proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lived and he died. And he lives again. You don't have to believe that because I'm screaming about it. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Jesus himself speaking. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet and he laid his right hand upon me. And this is what Jesus said. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read it at the beginning of the service, how Thomas said, you know what? Unless I see with my eyes those nail prints that were in his hands and those nail prints that were in his feet, I'm not going to believe that Jesus is alive from the dead. And here Jesus was so gracious to show up for Thomas, and he saw the nail prints in his hands and he saw the nail prints in his feet. He saw the crown of thorns upon his head. He saw where the spear had been in his side, and he fell on his face and he said, my Lord and my God. In other words, Jesus, you are alive from the dead, and that proves to me you are the very God of the universe. And Jesus said, Thomas, you're so good to see me and believe, but blessed are they that have never seen me, but they're not ashamed to say Jesus did live. And Jesus did die, but Jesus is alive. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice? Praise the name of the Lord. I know we are racing towards Easter, and I know it's going to be awesome around here. But you don't have to be excited about the resurrection just once a year. You don't have to be excited about the resurrection just maybe that first time that you gave your heart to the Lord. Because there's another thing that we are not ashamed of, and that is this, that even though Jesus ascended into heaven, he made it obvious to his original disciples, I am with you, but I shall be in you. He came back to this earth in the form of his Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said in John 14, even the Spirit of truth, speaking of himself, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and you know that he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Is there anybody that remembers the first time after you had repented that you begin to ask the Lord into your heart and his spirit came? It was like a fire, some people say. Other people say it was like a river. But all you know is the spirit of the Lord took over and you even burst out speaking in other tongues. Is there anybody that recognizes that's a revelation to me that God's not dead? He is alive. That's why we still sing. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. I feel him all over me. Why? Because God's not dead. I don't want to embarrass Elder Ponjakin that sits back there, but every now and then when he worships, he just lets everything go. And it's so beautiful because, you know, he's not the youngest guy in the building. And what you may not know is he comes from a religious tradition where any kind of outward demonstration, that was not necessarily allowed, or if I understand, it wasn't something that was promoted or even at times permitted. I love the fact that Jesus Christ is so alive in that man of God that he's okay to witness to it. In other words, to say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Come on, Heaven View. Every now and then you ought to remember that these guests that come here, they know this is an apostolic church. They know this is a Pentecostal church, and we ought to let them know, no way, we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. That's why we worship. That's why we praise him. If he was a picture on the wall, I could just cross my arms. If he was a statue made of stone, I could quietly pray. But because he lives, it changes everything. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice? Don't do it because I'm asking you to do it. Do it because he lives. Don't do it because I'm screaming in the mic. Do it because he lives. Sometimes they record the choir. They've been making fun of me because on every recording somewhere in there you can hear me scream, Hallelujah! I hope they can hear everybody scream at least sometime. Amen. No way, we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. There is something different about being a one God apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. And I know some of you younger folks, you kind of want to get away from that because it's not so cool or so sophisticated. If it wasn't for them old-timers, we wouldn't have a church. If it wasn't for those holy rollers, we wouldn't have a church. If it wasn't for those people that said, I don't care what you think, if it's in the Bible, I want it in my life. There would be no Heaven View. There would be no Christianity. As for me in my house, no way. We are not ashamed. Praise God. Don't worry about it, guests. If you're a guest, nobody's going to make you scream. Nobody's going to make you jump. Just relax. But Heaven View, don't worry about the guests. They heard we were like this. Let's not disappoint them. Come on, no way, we are not ashamed. I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you would do the same. I was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Would you pardon me if I'm not ashamed to be a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Hey, don't turn me down in the nursery. Turn me up, because our little babies need to know it matters that you're one God. It matters that you're apostolic. It matters that you're a tongue talker. It matters. Praise God. And so in Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ spoke as he was about to ascend into heaven. And he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry or wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He continues to write, this is the Apostle Luke in Acts 1 and 8, he continues, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so Jesus is alive from the dead. He's heading into the heavens, but he says you need to go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost falls, until you are filled with power so that you can do what I've called you to do. Look at Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I've heard of pastors, more than one, that have come through a prayer, season of prayer and fasting. They've been just seeking God for that power, for that fire. They'd get the call, "Pastor, the church is on fire." They'd run. They could see the flames. The fire department was called. They'd run into the building. There was no fire. They'd come back outside again, and they could still see the flames. All I'm saying is I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I don't know that I've ever heard the wind blow, and I've never seen those flames on top of the building like this verse describes it setting on people. But I will tell you this, I have seen men and women and boys and girls filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, speaking in a language that they never learned in school, or they weren't born to speak. I'm telling you, I've seen Catholics filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen Baptists filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen Pentecostals filled with the Holy Ghost. I even know of Muslims filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you, that same power, that same Spirit, that same presence of God is available to everyone. No way. We are not ashamed. Amen. Continuing in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I'm just trying to save a little bit of time. But if you go home and read Acts chapter 2, when all these people were speaking in tongues, the crowd said, "What is going on here? What does this mean?" And that's where we hear the Apostle Peter speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for the sins of every one of us. And their response was basically, what should we do about it? I think you need to believe with me, or at least consider with me, that the gospel is not just to be heard. The gospel is not just to meditate upon, or even in your heart say, well, I could believe that, or I do believe that. The gospel demands a response. And the response was given so clearly, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What Holy Ghost was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Ghost that in the beginning of that chapter, it made them speak with other tongues. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of it. Because he goes on to say in verse 39, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And look at verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm not ashamed to confess that Jesus died for me. But in my response to his death, I must repent of my sins. In my response to his burial, I should be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. And in my response to the fact that he rose again, I need to allow him to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And in fact, Peter said, this is how you save yourself from this untoward generation. I believe this building is filled with people that are not ashamed. But I wonder if you would close your eyes for a moment and raise your hands and pray for people that maybe do not know, that have never repented of their sins, that have never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Is there anybody that could pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but help me to get this gospel to everybody I can get this gospel to. Lord Jesus, you know in my heart, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And I'm so thankful I put my faith in Calvary and I've repented of my sins and I've been baptized in your name. I've been filled with your spirit. But Jesus, help me to do something with this gospel that helps it get into the heart of someone that is afar off, but they are seeking you and you are calling them. Can you say in Jesus' name? In Acts chapter 19, there's a peculiar passage I just want to read and just move on. It kind of fits in here because I'm not ashamed to tell you, here at Heaven View, we baptize in Jesus' name. We have the robes ready right now. The water is just the right temperature to baptize anybody that wants to be baptized. We got small robes, medium robes, large robes, and XXXXL robes for people like me. Because we know that baptism is that essential. But in Acts chapter 19, we read, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. So he found believers. He found people that loved God. He found people that were religious. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the fact that you were baptized before, but you have to realize that he was helping people to know Jesus, that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I'm not ashamed to tell you, you can be a good godly person, you can be a very religious person, but if you have never repented of your sins or never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, I beg you, please do not ignore it or push it away or think it's not for you. You may say, wait a minute, Pastor. I know some people that live for God and now they're dead and gone. They never heard this message. How in the world can you and I judge somebody that's never heard this message? It's not for us to judge. It is for us to put them in the hands of God. But for you and I that have been privileged to be here and to hear the gospel, come on, I am not ashamed to tell you, if you know what they didn't know, you need to repent. If you know what they didn't know, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you didn't know what if you know what they didn't know, you need to be filled. No way, we are not ashamed. I don't think we should be arrogant about that. And I know it sounds, when you're super confident about something, it sounds that you're being arrogant. Let me tell you, I know some people that when I look at their life, I'm stunned at how godly they are. I have some close associations with ministers that they have made a great impact in the work of God around the world, but they have never been baptized by immersion in Jesus' name. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. They speak into my life. They encourage me. They bless me. I try to encourage them and bless them, but I got to tell you something. I've got to do something with what I know. I can't be ashamed. I can't be afraid. I don't need to be arrogant. I don't need to be judgmental, but if you have heard the gospel, don't push the gospel away. If you have heard the gospel, don't pretend like it doesn't matter. If you have heard the gospel, don't act like, well, let's just not go there. Can I make a statement for every leader that's a part of Heaven View? And guest, you apologize. Are you forgive me for speaking to our leadership? Let me say to our leaders, this is not a bait and switch church. This is not a church where we hope they just come, they love the people, and they love the music, and we'll just kind of slip in the gospel. We'll just kind of slip in repentance. We'll just kind of slip in baptism in Jesus' name and slip in the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues and slip in holiness, but we'll try to be on the down low about it. We'll try to be quiet and coy about it. God forbid, because I think we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not a bait and switch church. This is a one God, apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven bound believer. That's what kind of church this is. This is a holiness church. This is a baptism in Jesus' name church. Yes, yes. Amen, 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 amen. 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 Some people get nervous. When we preach the apostolic way, you know what the default is? We must not offend, Pastor. No way we can intend to offend. But no way we are not ashamed. I want all the offended police to help me. I'm going to give you a test right now. Is this offensive to you? Are you ready? All you people that are part of the offense police department, is this offensive? Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where are the offense police? Because that sounds pretty offensive to me. You mean there's no other way? I'm glad I didn't say that, because the offense police would have got the handcuffs off. But that was Jesus Christ. Come on, those of you, and I'm telling you, we should not intend to offend. But here from Galatians 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Even as the apostles were passing off the scene, as they were getting too old to do anything, they were, most of them, dying as martyrs. You know what they preached? Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's what they preached. They preached speaking in other tongues. They preached holiness. But the church began to hear from people that said, oh, it don't take all that. You don't need all that. Until now, there are even Christians that think, well, repentance is okay as long as you're careful not to hurt anybody. And baptism, well, if you can do it, great. But if not, it's not essential. And that Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, come on, you know, the wealthy people in the congregation, they don't want to get all weird like that. So if you want your church to grow big and have money people, you just tell them that when they put their faith in God, the Spirit comes, and whatever they feel, they just go with that. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. You may be ashamed of it, but that's not the gospel. No way, we are not ashamed. In fact, the Apostle Paul went on to say, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That sounds offensive right there. Can you imagine if somebody told me, you know, Pastor, I heard your message, but at my church where I grew up, we don't preach it that way. What if I said, you're cursed? To my knowledge, I've never said that. But that's in the Bible. No way, we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. I was scheduled to preach in Sri Lanka a number of years ago. We were preaching all over the country. There was a group of us singing, preaching. Beautiful country, beautiful people. But we came to one city, and the night before I was to preach, the missionary came. And I'm not trying to offend or put down the people I'm about to mention. I'm just telling you what happened to me. They said, the Buddhists have told us that if we go into that hall and we have church, they will level the building. Now, you know, I was a guest. And I know deep down inside I was thinking, well, maybe there's somewhere else we could preach. But I wasn't going to tell them. Come on, let's do it. The missionary said, well, we can do it. But we have rented this from a very nice man in the community. And even if nothing happens to us, they literally will destroy that building. They have done it before. So he said, would you mind if we use another building in another city? Oh, I won't mind. We found another building, another city. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. People were baptized in Jesus' name. But I want you to think about something. Since we hadn't had a chance to preach, since we hadn't had a chance to sing, we didn't offend those Buddhists. They didn't even know who we are. You know what they knew? They knew our Jesus. They knew our message. They knew our gospel. What offended them was the message. what offended them was the gospel. What offended them was Jesus. That was what was offensive to them. And so I thank God that at least in America, at least for now, offended people don't usually burn down buildings. They do in some areas of politics, but not so much in the church yet. And I should be careful because this world is getting crazy. But offended people could leave the church. But don't just assume that they were offended by the pastor or the preacher or the music. Some people are just offended by the message. Some people are just offended by the gospel. Some people are just offended by the words of Jesus Christ. And we don't want anybody to leave. And we certainly don't want anybody to burn down the building. But no way, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And in this culture, in this age, as the musicians come, where we are being so careful to prop everybody up, and whatever you feel, we must be so careful not to hurt your feelings. Let me tell you something. Everything is tolerated. But those one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy, rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believers in the liberating power of Jesus' name. So we're just going to have to make up our minds. This may not work for everybody. But if somebody is hungry and thirsty for Jesus, this will work every time. If somebody comes to church and says, "Preacher, if it's in the Bible, I want it in my life," this will work every time. If somebody comes and says, "I'm tired of religion and I'm tired of being a Christian, but it doesn't change anything," this will work every time. It's not time to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to proclaim Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only Savior. And it still takes faith in Him that leads to repentance and baptism and the Holy Ghost and a holy life. Can you say in Jesus' name? One more verse and I close. James 1 and verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Would you read that out loud with me again? "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The power is not just in hearing the gospel. The power is in obeying the gospel. Because if you hear and you don't do, you will deceive yourself. That's why some of you have heard 3 messages on baptism in Jesus' name, and it's time for you to do something about it. You know why? Because if you hear and don't do, it'll never be powerful to you. You'll never see the miracle of it. In fact, you may reach the point where you say, "Well, that was nice, and I appreciate your passion, Pastor, but that's not for me." You'll deceive yourself. Are you welcome here? Absolutely. Will we love you? Absolutely. But you'll deceive yourself. For church people that have lived for God a while, I give an example. We read in the Bible about giving. But if you don't give, you'll deceive yourself. And you'll know never know the power of it. And you know what? You're still welcome here. We love you. We're glad you're here. But the power of God only comes when we do it, when we do it, when we do it. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Lord Jesus, there's no way that we are ashamed here at Heaven View of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not judging people, Lord, that have never repented or may never repent. They have never been baptized in Jesus' name, or they may never be baptized in Jesus' name. We're not judging them. We're not judging those that have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and it may never happen because they won't step out in faith. God, we're not judging them. We will keep loving them. But Lord, we are not ashamed. And God, I pray right now that if someone has never repented, that they would repent today in Jesus' name. If someone has never been baptized in Jesus' name, that they would be baptized today in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, if someone has never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, that when we come forward to this altar, that they would come and just say, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. And as they worship you, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And Jesus, to our precious Heaven View family, would you give us the courage to share this gospel as never before, not to push it away or in the background, not to act like, well, eventually we'll get around to that, but to be led by your Spirit to souls that are lost without you. In Jesus' name. Church, would you pray in the Spirit for just a few moments right now? In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask you right where you're seated to do something that may seem kind of strange, especially if you've lived for the Lord a long time. But I really try to do this daily, and I'm asking you to do it with me right now. Let's everybody just repent right now, all across the sanctuary. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. God, if I have offended someone today because I've been so passionate, so intense, please forgive me right now. Lord Jesus, if there is anything in my life, and I'm sure there are things I should do I have not done, things, Lord, that I have done that I should never do, forgive me right now. I can't repent for you, but I ask you to repent for yourself. Jesus, if there's any doubt in my heart, forgive me right now. Jesus, if there are some things in the Word that have challenged me today, don't let me run away from those things. Let me study. Let me read. Let me search it out. Don't let me just settle for tradition and religion when I really need the power of the gospel. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, if I've heard the message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and I've put it off. Forgive me, Lord, if I've heard about the Holy Ghost, but I listened to other people's opinions and they made me feel a little bit scared and maybe a little bit like I need to stay away from it, Lord. But there's something about this preacher that I've heard that the Holy Ghost is for everybody, and I'm not sure I'm ready to buy in, Lord, but I'm just asking you to help me. And forgive me if I'm missing something, Lord. Lord, forgive me if there's more you have for me. And I've kind of got into my little routine. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me if I really do love the gospel, but I'm so concerned about sharing it because I don't want people to realize that I'm different than them. And I want them to come, and then maybe after a while, they'll eventually see it. Oh, God, I pray that we would be wise, oh, Lord, and harmless, but that we would also be sensitive that the gospel needs to be proclaimed, that the gospel needs to be proclaimed. So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you have repented for any reason, I wonder if you would stand and just raise your hands or lift your voice out and say, thank you for Calvary, Lord. Thank you for your blood that was shed. Thank you for the reality that there is power in the gospel for me today. I wonder if you elders here can go get ready in case anybody wants to be baptized so they'll know where to go. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, these two elders here will help you get ready. We have robes and all that's ready. But here's what I'd like to do as we close this service. And I know some may have to slip out. We understand that. But when you preach the gospel without fear or favor, it brings an outpouring of the Spirit of God. It brings with it a demonstration of the power of God. So if you need a miracle in your life, or you are ready to receive the Spirit of God in a supernatural way, if you will join us at this altar and just begin to worship the Lord, elders and intercessors and prayer warriors, we will come and pray for you, and the power of God will fall on you. This is not about joining this church. This is not about anything like that. This is about the power of the gospel. So everybody that wants to come, just come for a few more moments before we dismiss. And if you will begin to worship the Lord, in spite of your need, in spite of all those circumstances, the power of God will visit you in a supernatural way. The altar are open now. Everybody's welcome to come. And if you will worship the Lord, we will pray for you, and the power of God will visit you, because there's power in the gospel. There's power in the gospel. If you're never coming back to this church, I'd still love to pray with you today. If that message was just not your message, I would still love to pray for you today. There's something about the gospel that brings power. There's something about the gospel that brings power. Come on, intercessors. Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, elders. Would you be led of the Spirit right now and pray with faith for the power of God to visit every person that has a need right now?
I'm not worthy.